Are our dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to my heart, my home. This show is live video. So if you're only listening and you would like to actually see it, you can go to my website, thequeenofdreams.com or www.KathleenO'KeefeCannabis. And that's KathleenO'KeefeCannabis. You may have seen me on my video podcast last hour, the Kat Canavis Show, live on New Earth TV. If not, you can go to my Facebook page as Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, author/speaker, or the Kat Canavis Show, and watch it at your convenience. So, you know, we all have habits. Whether we know it or not, we actually have habits. But there is one habit you may have or should have that can make all the difference in life, possibly even save your life. Authors and survivors Court Davies and Dr. Bernie Siegel, who likes to be called Bernie, are here to talk about their one habit for life. But first, let's start the show off with my favorite protection, clearing meditation. If you're driving, please don't close your eyes. It will still work. Just listen. During this meditation, imagine using something small but powerful to you. Maybe something given to you in a dream by your guardian angels or spirit guides or a deceased loved one who came into a visitation dream. It could be an amulet, a piece of jewelry, your favorite flower, a rock, a stone, anything you want, something that is powerful to you as a gift. We're going to take in three deep breaths. We're going to hold them, and then we're going to blow them across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain, where they're going to be converted into positive golden light and returned to the universe so we are not littering. Okay? Now, sit down comfortably. Ready? Close your eyes. Feel yourself just kind of relaxing and being centered. If you need to, just kind of roll your shoulders. Take a deep breath in. Now blow it out across the room, right into that purple flame of Saint Germain. Again, deep breath in. Imagine any tiny specks of negativity sucked into that breath. Now blow it out into that flame. One more time, really deep. Hold it. Imagine any negativity, something someone said to you, something you said to yourself, something you saw, attached to that breath. Blow it out into the purple flame of Saint Germain. See it converted into beautiful light. Return to the universe. And when you're ready, I want you to imagine your gift in your hand. And I want you to swing it around your body and create a mirrored bubble around yourself that only allows that which is of the highest and best and brought by your spirit guides to come into that bubble. Everything else is reflected back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes. In the meantime, you can just listen to me. In November of 2017, Court Davies was given just 3 years to live. He was diagnosed with stage 4 malignant paraganglioma, one of the rarest forms of cancer on the planet. After 7 surgeries, radiations, chemotherapy, and experimental drugs, he felt like he was at the end of the road. But something changed him one night as he laid in a hospital bed. He realized that his prognosis was simply a haunting opinion. And the true cause of his suffering was fear and the stress of the unknown. Court vowed to live from a place of love and to release fear, no matter the obstacles. He did so by incorporating new habits into his life that were utterly life-changing. He sensed something deeper was to be discovered and noticed a change in his life. So our other guest tonight is Dr. Bernie Siegel. And he is a New York Times bestselling author many times over and a retired pediatric surgeon who writes on the relationship between the patient and the healing process. And Bernie is an internationally recognized expert in the field of cancer treatment. And he's also into holistic medicine. He's known for the best-selling book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And in 1978, he originated Exceptional Cancer Patients, a specific form of individual and group therapy utilizing patients' drawings, their dreams, images, and feelings. ECAP, E-C-A-P, is based on carefrontation, is what he calls it. Carefrontation, a safe, loving, therapeutic confrontation, which facilitates personal lifestyle changes and personal empowerment. He says that the physical, spiritual, and psychological benefits which followed led to his desire to make everyone aware of his or her healing potential and what they're capable of. So welcome to the show, Bernie and Court. For those of you listening and those of you watching, you can go to my Dreaming Healing website on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. By going to my website that I told you about earlier, you can get there by thequeenofdreams.com. In the upper right-hand corner is a button for Dream Vision 7 Radio. If you click that button, it will bring you to my page where their website links are hot right next to their bios, and you can click them to learn more about them. So, Court, let's start with you. How did you come up with the idea of One Habit for a book series?
Well, the idea came to me, actually. It was me just kind of putting it out in the world and starting to talk to a lot of other cancer patients going through, you know, what they were going through and ones that had been through some pretty crazy stories and some pretty crazy prognoses and diagnoses. And a gentleman approached me and had this One Habit series and just said, hey, we should do one for cancer patients. And, you know, it really turned into this kind of personal project, which was to save my own life, to learn from all these other, you know, cancer thrivers, how they got through, you know, their ordeals and their adventures and their journeys. And then it ended up being me interviewing 50 of them and putting them into a book. And it has been really a really special process and a really special outcome for that.
Wow, that's amazing. And Bernie, I know that you were in the event that Court Davies was doing for One Habit. He interviewed you. So what is your one habit for life that you would like to share with the audience?
I'd say if you really wanted me to put that into words, it's follow your heart, not your head. When somebody says, do you want to do this? Say, how does it feel to do it? And if it doesn't feel good, say no. Okay, that you don't lose your life to please others. That goes back to the Bible. You say, you become what mom and dad want, you've lost your life. And I've seen many who, when they get cancer, say, well, I think I'll start doing what I wanted to do. And then they don't die of the cancer. and they start living their life. And, you know, I could tell you so many funny stories because, you know, it isn't monumental. It's sometimes getting a dog, moving to, you know, Miami or Colorado or all these crazy things. And when I don't get invited to the funeral, that's when I call up to ask why not, and the person isn't dead. I mean, one, I just share this, the end of a letter, because she did a whole bunch of things when she was told she had a few months to live. But the letter ends with, I didn't die, now I'm so busy I'm killing myself. Help, where do I go from here? That's an exact quote. I told her to take a nap, you know, because she's getting physically tired now. She's not burning out or burning up in the sense of doing all the things she doesn't want to do. And one psychiatrist, George Solomon, on a list that he entitled Immune Competent Personality, he said the most important question was, if you're asked to do something by friends and family that you do not want to do, what do you tell them? And it's hard for a lot of people to say no. Mm-hmm. But then you're losing your life doing what everybody else is asking of you.
Mm, that's so true. And you know, Court, one of the habits that I did do, because I am a three-time breast cancer survivor, and my habit was taking a nap every day. No matter what, no matter where I was, if I was sitting in a chair, waiting at the doctor's office to get treatment or something and had been postponed, my habit was to take that nap, and I would take a cat nap because those naps were food for my soul. It allowed me to reconnect with my spirit guides, my guardian angels, go through those sacred dream doorways to feed my soul. So Court, tell us what your one habit for life was, because your story is so amazing. And if you could share a little of that story with us before you tell us your habit, how did you suddenly find out that you had this cancer?
Sure. Well, what Bernie said really is kind of the epitome of my life right now, which is me formally living according to my parents' values and their desires and their dreams, and me having a hard time saying no to people. And, you know, I mean, in Bernie's book, In Love, Medicine, and Miracles, there's a typical psychological, you know, kind of breakdown of a cancer patient. And I am that person. I am that person that gave away all my power. And you know, I have reconnected with that power and that desire and those values by helping other people. And this journey has really, you know, kind of turned into that. And so I was misdiagnosed for probably 3 years before getting the diagnosis. And so, you know, I got into the point where doctors were telling me I was crazy. My parents were telling me I was crazy. People thought I was just being difficult, but yet my body was, you know, telling me something was wrong, something was wrong, something was wrong. And it took a little emergency room doctor in New Milford, Connecticut to actually figure out what, you know, what was going on. And as it turned out, my adrenaline is, you know, 150 times, you know, normal. So I have a rare neuroendocrine tumor, or my body does, I'd like to say. And so, yeah, I've had 8 surgeries and I'm in chemotherapy right now, and I've done immunotherapy and radiation and all those things. But, you know, the journey has been, you know, it's bumpy at times, but it's also been very fulfilling because I've learned that, you know, just what Bernie said, I've learned to be my own person. I've learned to kind of, you know, throw everything out that everyone wanted me to be and everyone wanted me to do, and just said, you know, hey, screw you. This is my time now. This is, you know, this is my time to be who I'm meant to be. And it's been fulfilling, but it's also been scary at the same time because it's the first time in my life where I've lived according to my own values.
Mm. So is that your habit? Your habit is to take under advisement what other people tell you, but then do what's right for you?
So my habit in the book was meditation. And so what meditation did was cleared space for me. It created this new space where I was able to work on myself internally and really feel good about myself internally and, you know, kind of start manifesting things in my life that were things that I truly desired, the things that I really wanted. And I feel like meditation is something that every single cancer patient should do, let alone every single person on this planet, because our world is so It's so, there's so many stimulations. There's so much, so many attachments to our world. There's so many things that we're thinking about on a daily basis. And we very rarely are able to go inside and detach from those things. But that's when the magic happens, is when you create that space. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's my habit, is really identifying the things that are taking up mental space in your head that don't serve you, and creating that space to, you know, really align with the things that really serve you, your values.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, when I was going through my cancer treatments, chemo, radiation, and everything you're going through now, Court, so I understand when you text me and say, oh God, I feel like I've been run over by a Mack truck. One of the things I did was I realized I needed to keep a dream journal, and I wrote down my dreams. So in my stories in your book, and I was also one of the people that wrote the foreword, you know, I talked about the importance of connecting with dreams. And even though you may not be able to write your dreams, let's say you're not a great writer, you can draw them. And that's what I want to ask you about, Bernie, because you had the original exceptional cancer patient group, the ECAP, E-C-A-P, that was based on carefrontation, you say, and you had your patients actually draw their dreams or what they were going through, or you had them paint in this group. Tell us a little bit about that, because I really think that well, is so important.
First of all, why were they called exceptional? Because I mailed out 100 letters to my patients saying, you want to live a longer, better life, come to a meeting. The secretary forgot to put in, this is not for relatives and friends. And I thought, what the hell am I going to do with hundreds of people, you know? So I couldn't sleep for weeks. And then when we showed up for the meeting, 12 women walked in. And I thought, what's going on here? These are all people with cancer. And I'm offering them a longer, better life. What have they got to lose by coming to a meeting? But you realize how fearful people are of attempting to do anything and failing. I mean, what if I don't get better? What if I don't live? And besides that, he asked you to read his book. And then he asked you to draw a picture, and I'm not an artist. And it was just drawing it with crayons on a, you know, white piece of paper. So I learned. And my wife was the one who came up with the term, these are exceptional. So I said, let's call it that, you know, exceptional cancer patients, because I couldn't figure out what to call them. And I learned, you learn survival behavior from those people. See, again, the psychiatrists know it better than the oncologists, because they see people because they're having emotional problems, and they go in and they talk about their life and what they're going through, and the psychiatrist realizes what helps them. When I wrote articles and sent them to medical journals, it came back with this note. It's interesting, but it's not appropriate. That was about dreams and drawings. I mean, Carl Jung, this is, you know, a few hundred years ago, interpreted a dream and diagnosed a brain tumor. Okay? He knew anatomy. He could tie, and from drawings too, because I met therapists who knew him. And they would always say, oh, he was fascinated by the somatic aspects. I said, yes, because if you're an art therapist, you don't see the anatomy that somebody puts in the drawing. And so it was amazing. I mean, what I was learning from doing it, and I may add, it's because I drew a picture for Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and she knew so much about my life from this stupid outdoor scene that meant nothing to me. That's when I went to the hospital with crayons, because I thought, if she knows everything about me from this drawing, things like a white crayon, what are you covering up? The page is already white. Why 11 trees? Oh, I've been doing this for 11 months. I mean, everything she asked me was in the picture, and this past, present, and future. So yes, I would say, like yesterday, I was on the phone with a lady. She drew radiation. I mean, it looks like this blast of fire coming down on her. No, don't go. I mean, if that's your impression of it, you'll have every side effect in the book and no good results. But I also know I could, if she said, but I want to do it, fine. Then every day, get up, and 4 or 5 times, picture yourself going to the hospital, having radiation, feeling wonderful, no side effects, and going home. See, a week later, and I've done this, you say, draw a picture of the same treatment. It looks beautiful. Radiation's coming out of God. It's a yellow energy beam, and it's not all that. And I may add, at the hospital, my patients were called Siegel's crazy patients. That's an affectionate term because, you know, when you get a call from a radiation therapist saying, I thought the machine was broken. He called my office. I thought the machine was broken. Then I saw your name in the lady's chart, so I knew it was a crazy patient. So I went into her because she has no side effects from radiation. So he thought the machine was broken. And she just said, oh, yeah, I get out of the way and let it go to my tumor. See? And those are the kinds of things they began to learn, that so that the term was not without affection. I mean, they admired those people and they would try them to help them. Because a lot of times they would say, yeah, I agree with the other doctor. She has 2 months to live. This is a quote. I don't make up any of these stories, but I know you and your crazy patients, so I'll give her hope. 6 weeks later, she was in complete remission.
Amazing.
Now, if he had said, oh no, she's got 2 months to live and I feel like her doctor, why get chemotherapy? It'll just make you feel worse, blah, blah. But, you know, he said, I know you and your crazy patients, so I'll give her hope. That was in a note to me after he, you know, examined her. And I think that's the part I learned. So there are personalities to the exceptional patient. And again, when you write articles, send them to medical journals, psychiatrists tell you it's appropriate but not interesting. And the oncology journal tells you it's interesting, but it's not appropriate. That's, again, the sick part. Why are you separating people into mind and body when they're really a unit? You know, if Monday morning we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. You don't like your life and your job, and yeah, it takes its toll on you. But if you got up every day thinking, how can I contribute to the world? What a wonderful day. You don't have that kind of problem. Mm-hmm. And I say, a wonderful place to look is in fiction, because the truth is revealed in fiction from the experience of the authors. And Solzhenitsyn, in his book Cancer Ward, says it beautifully. If you get well when you're not supposed to, the doctor will tell you you're a spontaneous remission. Now, that's pretty stupid. Why don't you say to the patient, how come you didn't die when you're supposed to? That's what I used to do. I'd meet people in the audience. I'd say, I thought you were dead. You never came back. What's the point of coming back? Everybody tells you I'm going to be dead. So what the hell? You know, but they always had a story. Like a landscaper who refused all treatment. When I told him he needed more after surgery, I got to go home, make the world beautiful. So when I die, I leave a beautiful world. He came back to the office 6 years later. This is a quote from him. I have a hernia from lifting boulders in my landscape business. He lived to 91, no sign of cancer, and became my therapist because he showed me how beautiful the world was. So I learned each person had a story, and I would try to help them achieve that and not let numbers kill you. Because I've seen, oh God, all these stories. You know, an insurance company says, oh, you have lung cancer. You'll be dead in a year. I'm not going to pay for cataract surgery. And what was ruining his life were the cataracts, not the cancer. But after hearing that, he went home, got into bed, and died in a week. So again, and let me mention one more thing that should help everyone. Ask yourself, what is it like to experience cancer? Now, if you said, I had a divorce, I had a heart attack, I don't care. If you have a problem in your life, ask yourself, what's it like to have that problem? Give me some words so I know what you're going through. See? Not, I have cancer of the colon. That's not your experience. That's a diagnosis. But when somebody comes up with words like, oh, the pain is like pressure. Oh, the cancer is a failure. It just goes on and on with words. Then I say, how do those words fit your life if they're negative? Because if somebody says it's been a wake-up call, it's been a new beginning, fine. You're doing the right thing. But when they come up with a negative, how does that fit your life? Well, pressure's my marriage. Failure, my parents committed suicide when I was a child. I must have been a failure as a child. I mean, those are, again, I don't make up any of these. These are words from patients. And so, you know, I saw the difference. And to help people take care of the pressure, they stop feeling like a failure. And then the benefit they receive from it physically, because you talked about the dreams and drawings, all that is stored in us. One more little story. A reporter came, because back in the 80s and 90s, I was on all the magazine covers as a controversial doctor. They, nothing pleasant was written about me, all criticism. And a reporter came to interview me, and I thought, oh, here we go again. You know, this intellectual reporter is telling me I'm crazy. I said to her, draw a picture, and then I'll see my last patient and come in to see you. I came in, and she handed me a drawing. In it, the picture of herself showed a large head, which said to me about her intellectual outlook. And behind her on the wall was a clock with one hand pointed at the number 12. So I thought, I got to get through to her. And I just blurted out, what happened when you were 12 years old? Now, you could have said, what happened 12 months ago? Or, you know, it's a number. But I thought, I got to try to give her a knock on the head. What happened when you're 12 years old? I don't like deadlines. There's only one hand on the clock. And then she came apart because she had been abused as a 12-year-old. And suddenly she couldn't deny what I had just said to her, and she had drawn, you know, it's no longer crazy. It just shook her up.
You know, it's amazing how drawing is so important. And you know, I was talking about, right, doing my dream journal, but a lot of people also draw their dreams. So Court, you know, you're doing an event around this one habit. Tell us about the event and how we can find it, because Bernie's in it, and how, you know, Hal was not, Elrod was not able to get on our show with us today because there were internet problems last time. My show had internet problems. So tell us tell us about this event that you're putting together around the one habit, and Bernie Siegel is in it as well.
And you too, Kat. You're
yes,
in it as
yes,
well.
I'm in it as well.
Well, it goes back to what Bernie said. It goes back to what he said. He, you know, it's me identifying what I value, and I've realized that my what I value is absorbing information and content and being able to kind of present it in a you know, kind of in a simplistic way. And I believe that a lot of cancer patients, I mean, all cancer patients, but, you know, Bernie says there's only three types of cancer patients. And of course, what he says is the exceptional ones are unfortunately the smaller percentage. And, you know, I mean, we hope that more show up, but it's really the ones that are, you know, as Bernie says, the ones that want to live to 100, the ones that'll do whatever it takes to live. And so, you know, I put on this event, I interviewed over 35 people, and it's really about mindset and perception and, you know, how to change your perception of your cancer journey. And it really goes back to this, you know, this new mission, right? I mean, I want people to realize that this is a new lease on life. This is a second chance. And, you know, I'm still stage four. I'm still going through it right now. There's no, you know, there's who knows the direction I'm going to go, but, you know, I believe I'm going to make it through it because of my mission and my purpose and in serving people. I believe it's bigger than me, and I believe it's my value. And so it's called One Habit to Beat Cancer Online Summit. And the URL is simply onehabitsummit.com. And it's from May 25th through June 3rd. And, you know, we have hundreds of people signing up right now. It's actually really exciting. But I will say this, it's discouraging in a sense, because I just know how many people could use this information, and I know that only a small percentage of them will actually show up and use it and listen to it and really be willing to change. And that's somewhat frustrating, but I guess that's the human condition, right?
Let me say this, that
please.
The word patient is derived from a word meaning submissive sufferer.
Yes.
So being a good patient isn't good for you.
Yeah.
You know, in the hospital, you're not a person. You can literally, one of the leading causes of death, be killed by medical errors in a hospital. I made up the word respite. You want to be a responsible participant in the process. So you participate in choices of treatment, how you're treated by doctors and nurses and a whole host of things. And don't be that submissive sufferer. Because
hey, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought. We got to take a break. So everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, a.k.a. Kat. And you can type in the Queen of Dreams into your Google search bar, and my website will come up. From there, you can click on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network button in the right-hand corner, and it'll take you to my Dreaming Healing website. And you can click on the websites of Dr. Bernie Siegel, Bernie, and Court Davies. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LAURARowley healer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, and we're discussing the one habit that can change your life, possibly keep you alive. Our guests are Dr. Bernie Siegel and Court Davies, and we're talking about the book that just came out, One Habit, and the event that is following it. So, Court, let me ask you, how did you find the people who have chapters in your book?
Well, so that was a really interesting journey. I started just talking to people on Instagram and Facebook, and you know, there was two things. I was kind of vocal about my own journey, and I would also ask questions about, you know, people that went through their own cancer journey. And it was just so easy. It just people just came to me. I just decided to write this book. And you know, I'd say a lot of them were people that I knew that had gone through cancer, you know, previously in life, that have been inspiring people to me. And there were also a lot of new people that, you know, I met through this process that came to me. And it was just really a beautiful, amazing, you know, kind of way of putting all these people's stories together. And, you know, I got to review the book before it came out and got to read everyone's stories after I interviewed mm-hmm. them. And, you know, I realized that it was, this was a project for me as well. This was like a personal compilation of modeling experts and people's, you know, journeys. And it really gave me a lot of hope, because I have been through, you know, some bumpy roads, like, you know, Kat, you and I talk about the chemotherapy has been, it's been difficult. And I go back to those stories and I go back to my purpose and my mission. And this book, you know, I wanted to inspire a lot of people, but it's really inspired me on this journey. It's really helped me. It's really made me vulnerable and really helped me kind of, you know, change my perspective and outlook.
You know, chemotherapy is so scary. The idea of chemotherapy is so scary. And I remember, Court, when you came out here to visit me in Rancho Mirage and we were having lunch, I said, you know what? I want you to enjoy this yeah. part of your life. Yeah. You're never going to get to do it again. It's going to be the ultimate experience. You're going to be taking drugs that are going to give you dreams and connections that you could never get any other way. And with every, you know, sunny day, some rain must fall, but you know, you will probably never come back and experience this again. So really experience it now. Write it down and express what you're feeling. So with you actually in treatment right now, in chemotherapy right now, what is the one thing that you would like to say to the audience who may be listening to you right now and who are also in treatment or getting ready to go into treatment and may be frightened?
Well, you said it, you know, you had a really profound effect on me. Actually, we sat at that dinner table and you and I at lunch and I said, I'm doing chemo, and you said, enjoy it. And I had never heard that perspective. I was like, did you just say enjoy it? And so, you know, why not enjoy it? And why not, you know, why not, allow this to be the birthing of your new self. Bernie, I'm gonna go back to you. Bernie actually, during the interview, he actually told me, he actually related childbirth with chemotherapy and birthing of your own self. And that was really profound. I mean, Bernie, what you said to me was, you know, spend, you know, 9 months, you know, birthing a child, and you're birthing another life, but you know, spend these 12 months in chemotherapy and you're birthing the new version of yourself. And that really was such an inspiring thing to me, because that's what we're doing. We have a new lease on life, a second chance. And I'm literally birthing my new self, my higher self.
What do you think of that, Bernie? What do you say to that?
Oh, I agree with him. No, what I was sharing with him was a poem from a woman, see, who said, 9 months seems like a long time. I watch my body change. It ends with, I give birth to my child. All the discomfort and pain is now justified. 12 months, chemotherapy and radiation. I watch my body change. 12 months pass, I give birth to myself. See, even the sense of humor, you used the word fear, you know, in introducing Court again. Fear is to protect you from danger. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have fear, you know, we'd get bitten by a poisonous snake or attacked by some animal taking a walk. So when you're fearful, you can escape. I mean, what it does in terms of hormones, body function, you'll find yourself able to do things you couldn't have done if you weren't afraid. Like one guy lifted the car off his child. How the hell did he do that, you know? So fear is useful when you're endangered. But when you're not, it's depleting you when you're fearful of chemo. See, and your body believes what your mind conceives of.
Yeah.
So if I see myself going to the hospital, and that's what I used to tell all my patients. And during surgery, I'd say, you wake up comfortable, thirsty, and hungry. And they gained weight, so I had to change what I said. I mean this literally. Patients came back to the office, said, I've gained weight. And the nurse said, it's your fault. And we laughed. But I realized I was telling them, you'll get up hungry. So they were always hungry. And when you picture yourself going to the hospital, having treatment, no side effects, feeling well, yes, it changes your drawings and your dreams, and it changes your results. And so again, it's what's going on within you. Your body, remember, is not the one thinking and making decisions. And that's why the quiet mind, or something else that you were saying that popped into my head, that maybe it was during the commercial even, the quiet mind is the key. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to animals, you quiet your mind, you can get into their mind. I mean that literally. I've been taught how to do that by Amelia Kincaid. So when you have that quiet mind, you see the truth. You see, it's not hidden from you. And you get to know yourself too. And I've seen patients go home, come back with no cancer. What did you do? Oh, you know, well, tell everybody. I left my troubles to God. How do you do that? I mean, how many people would say, oh, sure, I'll go home and have a quiet mind and leave everything to God and stop mm-hmm. worrying? I don't mm-hmm. think, yes, it is possible. And I work on these things every day. When I get up, I have meditations. I walk the dog. I talk with God as we're walking, you know, work on my body, all those things. You know, at some day we're all going to die. I don't try to not die because I had a near-death experience when I was 4 years old. Boy, is that a wonderful thing to have happen. That may sound crazy, but I was so upset when I didn't die. The first words out of my mouth were, who did that? Because I was mad at God. I figured God decided I'm not supposed to die today, even though I wanted to. I mean, I hope it doesn't upset people for me to talk like that. Yes, I was upset my parents would find me dead, but I'm, you know, like floating around the room watching. See, and I knew, this is the other interesting thing. We are not our bodies. Because every time I start talking about what happened, I'd say the kid on the bed.
Yeah.
And I thought, why don't you say me, yourself? You never say, I watched myself die. I watched the kid on the bed. And one day it came to me, it's because you're not that body. You're the consciousness that was in the body. Mm-hmm. So all these things, and can I tell you something mystical that happened this weekend that mm-hmm. really kind of blew my mind? My wife died 2 years ago, and we've been in touch with each other all the way. It's totally mystical. I mean, she was born on 9/9. I'm telling you this because this weekend was really interesting. Saturday was a 9. 10 was Mother's Day. 11 was the number of the day we got married. So we got 9, 10, and 11 all there, okay? On Saturday, I did a wash, took all the clothes out of the dryer, and there was a dime and a penny sitting in the dryer. I have no freaking idea how it got there, okay? Then on Mother's Day, I'm making the bed. And I'm still sleeping in the bed that my wife and I slept in. So I do my side, then I go around to straighten out the other side. And usually I just pull it to get it back. But something pulled it out of my hands and threw it the other way. And what was lying on the sheet of the bed? A dime and a penny. Now, that is totally unexplainable. You know, you could say, well, if you lay down on the bed, I'm not lying on the sheet in my clothes with money in my pocket. It was under like three blankets and, you know, the sheet. And so they're right here because I keep my wife, a picture of her, and two dimes and two pennies right next to my heart. Because 9 months after she died, my heart went crazy, irregular heartbeat. And I won't go into all the details, but when they took me to the hospital, they put me in room 9, and I heard them announce it when I walked in the emergency room. Put him in room 9. We don't have a bed for you upstairs. Oh, we got one now, 819. And 8 is a new beginning, and 99. And then I looked at the wristband they put on you in the hospital. My number at the hospital is 996633, all nines. And the cases are also that way. I've saved every one of them. It'll be like 7272. You know, it is totally unexplainable. Oh, and besides the diamond penny, 5 other times I have found a diamond penny in a bird bath, the checkout in the supermarket. I mean, when again, you can't explain how can a diamond penny sit on the belt, you know, that... Mm-hmm. When I walk up, it's sitting there. And
so, Court, let's talk about what Bernie's talking about here. All these people who are going through treatment right now, maybe they feel alone, maybe they've lost their loved ones, or maybe they're separated, they're going through treatment by themselves because of COVID. Actually having signs and symbols and looking for those, maybe being one of the habits, be helpful to them?
Synchronicities are, Bernie and I talked about it during our interview. I said that I see 1111 all the time, like you do, Kat, and I see 123 and 555 and 222 and 333. And so May 9th was my birthday this weekend, Bernie. It was my birthday. And so I had something incredible happen on the day after, on Mother's Day as well. I found this little piece of paper from a meditation retreat I went to, and it's about the dogwood blossom. And the dogwood blossom represents life. It represents new life because it's the springtime. And so on the thing, it said, surrender that which does not serve you and come into that what does serve you. And so I happened to find this in my backpack on Sunday. And then that day we went for a walk in the woods, and I got to a clearing, and I was surrounded by hundreds of blooming dogwood trees, hundreds. And you could smell them. And I'm in Lake Tahoe. I'm in Nevada right now. So in California, there's no blooming dogwood trees in Southern California. I had to be in this place to see these blooming dogwood trees. And so I think that, Bernie says it well, like believe you are not your body, and believe that there is another power, and that there's something else out there bigger than you. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, just, you know, there's a lot of great evidence that when people start getting really heavily into faith and start believing that they have a soul, that a lot of them have those spontaneous remissions.
Right.
Because they realize they're not in this logical body that has this, you know, finite amount of time on earth. We're infinite beings. Mm-hmm. And that's... Let me interrupt you for a second. Please. I always interrupt.
I lost track of what I was saying about Solzhenitsyn in the cancer ward, you know, where doctors talk about spontaneous remissions. By the way, also, dogwoods, I had that kind of feeling today coming in this afternoon. The blossoms are coming out.
Wow.
But Solzhenitsyn... has the men, oh, look, it's in this book. It says there are cases of self-induced healing. The symbol that said to me he intuitively understands because he had cancer is a rainbow-colored butterfly fluttered out of the great open book, and they all held up their foreheads and cheeks for its healing touch as it flew past. Boom. What's the butterfly about? You struggle. You bust out of that freaking cocoon. And then you spread your wings, and it's rainbow-colored. Everything in your life is in order. Because again, in drawings, crayons, you know, red is passion, yellow is energy, purple is spiritual. They all have meaning, you know, like the red and green lights. You stop when it's red and you go ahead when it's green. It's not an accident. Leaves are green, the sky is blue. Somebody worked all that out. But when you understand the rainbow colored butterfly, say, you transform, create harmony, your body responds.
That's so true. And you know, in the book, I had sent in my story to Court, and he sent it back and he said, you know, I really like your story, but I want you to talk about the Franciscan monks that came in to your dreams. Because I want that in the book, not just what you were experiencing. So, you know, we're talking about these little messages from heaven, and the, you know, Bernie's wife makes sure that he gets a penny and a dime, which is 11. You know, I always talk about 11-11. And in my case, you know, I had been diagnosed with recurrence, and I was sure that I was going to die. And I went in and cried myself to sleep on the bed when I dreamed that I woke up and the three monks were standing there looking down on me. We're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, I'm going to tell you what those monks said to me, because I think it's important that we all embrace their message, because it's for everyone. You're listening to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7.com, and I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, but my friends all call me Kat. Don't
what if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Darkest hours to brightest moments. Transformation from despair to happiness. And chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book,
Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.com. And I'm your host and author, video podcaster, Kat Cannabis. Just before the break, we were talking about how we get these little messages from beyond, from our loved ones. And in my case, it wasn't, they are loved by me. I love them very much, but it's not like a deceased loved one in the form of a spouse or a parent. I have these monks actually come into my dreams. And so when I was diagnosed with breast cancer recurrence, that was missed by the medical community again, but told it was back in my life by my monks. It was a 9 by 11 centimeter area. So I was scared out of my mind. And the monks showed up in my nap, because I was taking a nap. They were looking down at me, and I looked up at them and I said, look, I know why you're here. I understand I'm going to die. I can't possibly survive a 9 by 11 centimeter cancerous area that's a recurrence. I don't know of anybody who has. But you may want to warn God before I get up there, because I don't think I deserve this, and I'm going to have some really big bones to pick with them. And they kind of laughed, just like Bernie just did. And they looked down at me and they said, Kat, don't you remember? And I said, remember what? And they said, you said before you were born, when you were up there with us, that you wanted to come down onto the earth plane during a time when our higher power and God and spirituality was being taken out of our waking world and put into a closet locked away. And you were going to show how science, which is really just a gift, science goes so far and then comes God. And we told you we'd be with you every step of the way. And I looked up at these three Franciscan monks and I said, what the heck was I smoking up there when I said I wanted to do that? And they laughed and they said, you're not going to die right now. And they turned around and walked out of my dream. And I didn't. That was almost 20 years ago. So my point is, by doing my habit of taking a nap and writing down my dreams, I suddenly realized, what if? And this is why I said to Court, enjoy your chemo. Enjoy your radiation. Enjoy this ride. What if all of the really challenging things that we go through in life are our choice? What if it is the cross we chose to bear, that we chose to come down onto the earth plane and do for ourselves and for others? And what if we decide to take our lives? We're cutting that short by connecting with our dreams, prayers, and meditations. We're ensuring that we fulfill our life purpose through our dreams, prayers, and meditations here on earth. So Bernie Siegel and Court Davies both were in the Deepak Chopra event this past weekend, Never Alone, that focused on suicide prevention. You know, don't cut short your life. You may have this illness not to die, but to show the world that you can overcome. So we're pretty much coming to the end of our show. So I would really like for you two to share how our audience can find you and become a part of this event, the One Habit event. So Bernie, how can we find you? And I know you have some new books that are out.
The way is through my website, BernieSiegelMD.com. And there's, you know, all the information there. All right. I can't remember if I have my, I think it's just BernieSiegelMD.com, not my middle initial. But I also, one of the articles there is deceiving people into health. I learned to lie to patients for their benefit. They believe the doctor, see? So, you know, especially as you mentioned, I did a lot of children's surgery and the kids believe me and their parents. So you learn the power of the mind. When you give a kid a vitamin pill and tell it to eliminate pain and nausea and side effects and grow hair and it works, you say, how the hell does that happen? That's how powerful the body is and that hypnotic effect is. I also have to tell you not to forget the sense of humor. My wife had breast cancer. She had a lumpectomy. She's getting mammograms. And the mammogram report came to me and it said, you know, normal. So I wrote to the radiation, the radiologist. And I said to him, my wife's breasts are far nicer than normal. We're insulted by your comments. Now we come back, I don't know, it might've been a year later, you know, for another mammogram. And I could tell from the look of everybody there, here's that nut who wrote that note to us about his wife's breasts. So after they looked them over, they came out and said, your wife has beautiful breasts. They're, you know, lovely. And the whole place busted out laughing. But you see, that it was a gift to everybody, if you know what I mean, to have that sense of humor, that we're all laughing and you become like family then, you know, rather than the radiologist and the technician and the patient. We were all laughing together and then they don't forget you.
Oh, I don't think anybody could ever, nobody could ever forget you, Bernie, even if they tried. So, Court, how can we find you and the event?
Well, I think the simplest things are the book is available on Amazon, One Habit to Beat Cancer. And then the summit is from May 25th to June 3rd, and it's One Habit Summit, just the number one, One Habit Summit. And it goes over the course of 11 days, over 35 interviews. And really, it's just what we were talking about. It's changing the perception of around cancer. You know, Kat, I interviewed you. Bernie, I interviewed you as well. And I interviewed some amazing, you know, some other amazing people. And, you know, some of them have gone through cancer. Like we were talking about Hal. Hal was stage four and he's a, you know, public speaker, author, and he went through it. And so a lot of people came out the other side. And I think the biggest thing that you get from this summit is that, you know, cancer is the new lease on life, your new lease on life. And it's, you know, an inspirational journey if you see it that way. Right. And, I want to inspire more people to see it that way. I hope that I can sway the people that are in the middle that are kind of, I'll do whatever the doctor tells me as long as it doesn't inconvenience me. I kind of want to sway them to, you know, make this an empowering journey. And as Bernie says, you know, don't see yourself as a patient, see yourself as a thriver. You know, a cancer thriver is a lot better thing to be seen as than a patient.
Thank you guys. We're running that. We're going to run right out through the clock. We have so much great information to share with everyone. And I want to thank everyone for making Dreaming Healing such a great success. Remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives. Until next time, everyone, sweet dreams.
Thank you for joining us this evening, and a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author Kat O'Keefe Canavas. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O-K-E-E-F-E-K-A-N-A-V-O-S. Or the Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.